is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The Houthis of Yemen. Bill Raggio, my colleague and co-host of Senior Fellow Foundation for Defense of Democracy. And we're joined by his colleague, Bridget Toomey of FDD, who posts regularly about the Houthis on Long War Journal. I recommend, because this is a mystery that has not been solved by the great navies and the smaller air forces, the Houthis of Yemen. Bridget, there is momentarily a ceasefire in Gaza. Has it influenced decision-making that we understand in Sana'a, the capital of Yemen? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. So far, the Houthis have not resumed attacks on Israel, though their statements in the early days of the ceasefire and when it was announced, I would say are best described as kind of a cautious acceptance. They were willing to go along with the ceasefire when it was, you know, when Hamas wanted it, but they are very willing to return to striking Israel and their attacks in the Red Sea. And they've made it pretty clear that they reserve, you know, in their minds, the right to do that so long as they consider Israel to be in violation of the ceasefire. So we'll be looking to see if in the coming days they respond to the recent activity in Gaza with some resumption of airstrikes or attacks, missiles or drone attacks against Israel or in the Red Sea.
Bill, you have a question for Bridget.
Hello, Bridget. Have the Houthis have finally announced the death of their military chief of staff, Mohammed al-Ghamari. He was killed by the Israelis in a series of airstrikes that targeted the Houthi senior leadership. What was his importance, and have the Houthis named his replacement?
Yeah, so he was important in the Houthi military structure for many reasons. Obviously, he's the chief of staff, top role, but he was also important as a strategic thinker and planner, which the Houthis needed to pull off their recent campaigns in the Red Sea and against Israel. So one of my big questions will be, can his successor, who the Houthis have named, it's Yusuf al-Madani, can he rise to this level of strategic thinking in the Red Sea, in the region, as the Houthis have really tried to elevate themselves to a regional and a global actor. A little bit about Mandani. He, you know, has been very involved in the key military campaigns that the Houthis have led in the past decades in Yemen. Recently, he was the commander of the 5th Military Region, which controls the coastal territory that the Houthis need to really launch their attacks in the Red Sea. So while that's an important command, an important area, he was not the one necessarily leading this campaign of strikes in the Red Sea and strikes against Israel. So it'll be interesting to see how he can, you know, fill that role.
You have a quote from Abdul Malik, the deceased, claiming conflict with Israel is perpetual. That is why we are always concerned, even if a ceasefire is achieved, with preparing for the rounds that will inevitably come. Do you believe that policy is still in place, even though he is no longer on the scene?
I believe this was a quote from Abdul Malik, the group's leader. But the group, as a whole, their mission is driven by this perpetual animosity towards America, towards Israel. So absolutely, even though, you know, individual leaders might be taken out, they're, you know, driving force has not changed.
So the chief of staff is dead, but long live the war on Israel.
Yes.
Bill, you have a question.
Yes. Back to the new chief of staff. Does he have a close relationship with Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps? Are they coaching him to be the Ghamari's successor?
He is believed to have a close relationship. He received some training in Iran, so he has experience working with them, working with Iran's partners in the region. And that's really important within the Houthi kind of military organization. Promotion in that organization, you know, requires some experience with Iran, with the Houthis partners and sponsors.
The Red Sea, is it safe to go back in? Is there going to be international traffic with this ceasefire in Gaza? Has anybody indicated that they've been losing money and they need to regain it, especially Cairo?
I think everyone would like to return to the Red Sea, but there is still a lot of concern that the Houthis continue to possess the capabilities to terrorize the Red Sea. And it seems like they are not deterred in any way. They are choosing at this moment to be quiet because of the ceasefire in Gaza, for whatever reason they may choose to be quiet at the time being. That's not, you know, evoking a lot of confidence in companies and countries that the Red Sea is actually secure.
Bill, you have a question.
Yes. What has the opposition to the Houthis, the recognized government of Yemen, have they been able to make any progress in beating back the Houthis, or are they just in a fight for survival at this point?
So in recent history, the lines of conflict have been pretty consistent in Yemen. They have seen increased success in intercepting weapons shipments, so that might prove to be significant if they can maintain this, I would say, larger interception capacity. But so far, things have kind of been, you know, at a balance between the Houthis and between the anti-Houthi forces aligned with the internationally recognized government and others in Yemen.
You tell us there's a burning oil tanker somewhere off the coastline in this region. Where and what is it?
Yes, there is a LPG, a liquefied petroleum gas tanker, off the coast of Aden, the Gulf of Aden in Yemen. Interestingly, this vessel is believed to be part of what's called Iran's shadow fleet, the fleet of vessels that help Iran move sanctioned oil and gas products. So this vessel was intended to go to a Houthi-controlled port. So it's a little uncertain what's happened here. Nobody's claimed responsibility for an attack. If it was, in fact, going towards the Houthis, as this vessel has done before, it's unlikely that the Houthis would intend to shoot it. Now, it could be an accident. It could have been something else. But this is another attack or accident in the Red Sea region that further underscores why ships are hesitant to return.
Bill, we know less about the Houthis than we do about ISIS.
Yeah, well, in some ways we do, and in some ways we don't. I think what we really do is underestimate the capabilities of the Houthis. They survived an international campaign over several years, Israeli airstrikes, and they have several enemies at home. And one thing I think we do know about them is it's persistent, and they're never out of the fight.
We have about a minute.
Yeah, you mentioned the tanker. Do you suspect that this was foul play, or do you really think that this was an accident? Especially given that this might have been this was part of the ship from the Iranian fleet.
I suspect that this might have been foul play. Some reports have said that it was struck by a missile. So this was likely an intentional attack on this part of Iran's illicit.
Who would you think would be the prime culprit? Would it be the United States? Would it be the Israelis? Would it be the Yemeni government or the Yemeni opposition forces?
So I've seen some hypotheses that it might be Israel behind this. I'm not sure that Israel at this time would be looking to strike vessels, but they certainly would like to do damage to
Bridget Toomey. Bridget Toomey and Bill Raggio of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. I'm John Batchelor.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.